Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 99 of the Panelcast. One episode left till we get to 100. This is your host, as always, AJ, and I'm here this week at Comic-Con with Martin.
How's it going?
And we're joined this week, for the first time, popping her cherry, Vanessa.
Hey.
Don't be so timid. It's okay. Just come right out of the closet. Just jump on out.
Okay. Oh, hey, guys.
There you go. We're recording this episode live from Comic-Con. It's preview night, and we've all had a wonderful day at San Diego Comic-Con preview night. And we're going to go into some of the stuff that we've heard and seen so far on this wonderful day, first preview night of Comic-Con. So all that and a whole lot less when we come back.
Hey, I'm Penn from Mostly Harmless Entertainment. Come check out all our cool videos and movies that we do at mostlyharmlessent.com. You can also find us on YouTube at YouTube/mostlyharmless. Check out all the cool stuff we're doing around Redlands and IE and California and Washington and the world stuff. Okay, bye.
And we're back. Okay, first and foremost, let's talk to the people that we're doing the show with, the hosts, especially first-time newcomer, Vanessa. How you doing, Vanessa?
I'm doing pretty good.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself. Why am I granting you the special privilege of being on my show?
Because I'm pretty badass. Am I allowed to say that?
Sure. Say whatever the fuck you want to say. Except for the word fuck. Don't ever fucking cuss on my fucking show.
I fucking got it. Right. There we go. Got it. I'm here because this is what my second time coming to San Diego Comic-Con, and every year it seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Like today, it was out of control with the crowds. So.
Now you run a little company on the side. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm the owner of Blackbird Bows. They're concept bows, they're custom styled bows, and I come to events like this to find trinkets or harder to find things that I wouldn't normally find. You know, at a craft store. These are all specialty items that I search for.
Now, you've done conventions and expos and whatnot before. Is San Diego a show that you would contemplate doing?
Oh, yes. This would be like the top of the mountain for me because I've done an expo with Forbidden Panel, the zombie beauty pageant. That was a lot of fun, and it gave me kind of a feel of what to expect when and if I ever get to this level.
So, Forbidden Panel field you?
Yes.
Awesome.
You'll pay her now.
Oh, okay. So really with that, I mean, you've been on the floor today at previous Comic-Cons. You think that this type of crowd would be something that would be attracted to your product? And I'm not saying that to downplay your product or anything. I'm just thinking, like, with everybody here being predominantly starstruck and, you know, going for something like Marvel, DC, Twilight, all that stuff, do you think your product would do well in this type of environment, plus with the madness of the crowds involved also? Is that something that you think you'd be able to do okay with?
I honestly think so, and there's a lot more females or girls in the crowds now that I'm noticing. And my product's like a specialty item, and everything here pretty much falls into that category. And I find my product to be really rare and to draw different people in different aspects of like whatever they like, because my bows aren't just like girly pink bows. I have Star Wars bows, or I have pop culture character bows, or things that I've made by hand.
Okay, so where would you see your booth at? When it comes to San Diego Comic Con, you see how everything's sectioned off in different spots. Where do you see your booth being placed at to get optimal business?
You know, I'm not quite familiar with the layout of the floor to really, like, say where I would do well at. Definitely on Friday, I'm going to spend some time analyzing and kind of seeing how it really is set up, not just by, you know, it says Mattel, and then, you know, I just accept that. I want to go talk to everyone and see why they're there, and if any of the other vendors have any advice as to where my company would succeed.
Okay, so basically, where to place you on the floor and where you'll be pretty good at. Okay. Now, tell us about some of your past experience at the conventions in comparison to San Diego.
Well, I went to WonderCon, and that was a lot of fun. Kamikaze for their first year. They weren't ready for it, but there was a lot of different things. They had combined tattoos, horror films. It wasn't predominantly comic books, and that was like a almost like a new crowd mixed in with an old crowd, so it gave it like an extra energy. So Kamikaze was something that I could see myself going back to, for sure.
So do you see Kamikaze, that style of convention, a better fit for you personally, or a better fit for your company, or both?
It's going to be both, because I personally was drawn to it, just because of the things that I like, and then because there was such a broad audience, it brought more attention to stuff that would probably be more my style.
So you like having more than just a comic book option at these conventions?
Yes.
So you're the person we hate because you're the reason San Diego is the way it is?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Just wanted to double check.
Thank you for throwing me under the bus.
What bus? It's a trolley. It comes by every 15 minutes to make sure you're dead. Okay, awesome. Where can we find your work right now?
Right now, you could go to www.blackbirdbows.com. It's going to link you back to the Facebook page where it's updated constantly, and I have all of my upcoming events posted on there. So that would be a fast and easy way to contact me.
Now, where are we going to see you next in terms of a convention or expo, as well as where are you boothing next?
Well, recently I just got picked up by Raw Artists, and they help promote independent artists. I was asked to showcase with them. So August 16th, I'll be in Riverside at Sevilla's displaying all of my new exclusive product for that show only.
And that's the next show you're going to as well as booting it?
Yes.
Okay. And a little bit of background. How long have you been a fan of comic books, per se? This type of environment?
Oh, this type of... Since I was really young, but I didn't have the friends to kind of take me to these places. I mean, obviously, a 12-year-old can't go to San Diego by themselves. So the older I got, the more people I've met and kind of expanded on this type of environment. Like when I met Martin, he's the one that kind of pushed me out there and said, oh, you like all this stuff? There's like a place where everyone goes who likes all that stuff. Here. You know, and kind of shoved me into it.
So having met Martin has helped your geek education?
Oh, definitely. He's a walking, talking encyclopedia tour guide / my hero.
Wow.
And now I have to pay her.
Right, right. And you realize Martin has no ass, so you don't have to kiss it that much to cover it.
Just a little bit.
Just little baby kisses. Little Hershey's kisses.
Little baby kisses.
And the tender parts of Martin's ass.
That's all genuine, man. That was straight from the heart. No ass kissing.
She's pointing at her boob, not her heart, guys.
All boob.
It's all meat puppet right there. Moving right along.
Oh, yes, please. Please move right along.
Martin!
Yes?
Hey.
Hi.
I don't know if you like me expanding the word you like I did. You've since becoming a part of Forbidden Panel and working with us, you've since expanded your own business sense and company-wise. Tell us what it is you're working on now and why.
Okay, well, I've just started a new venture company, I guess we can call it, called Bright Boy Concepts, and the idea came from attending events like Comic-Cons, hanging out with Forbidden Panel. We go to a lot of screenings, we watch movies, we hang out with people who are like us, that are nerdy, some of them that are just obsessive with some sort of pop culture icon, hanging out with Vanessa at art shows and things like that, and started to get all these ideas about how fandom can become so many different products. There's t-shirts out there, there's action figures, there's artwork, there's lanyards, keychains, all kinds of things that can be done. And I started to see those products at different shows, and I saw that people were selling them for a lot of money. And that bothered me, because I pay $200 for a ticket to come to San Diego, and then I've got to drop another $75 to buy a lithograph, or to buy $25 to buy an action figure that I had to wait in line for 4 hours for. So I want to create a place where people can come and buy things, mostly custom ordered, custom requested, to do with their fandom and not have to pay an arm and a leg for them. I want to create something that is more budget-friendly, budget-conscious for fans out there.
But now you're talking in relation to third-party sellers as opposed to going to Artist Alley and buying, purchasing off the boot, the actual artists
right.
themselves.
Yes, exactly. So you go into the exhibit hall, as we all did today here in San Diego, and you see a retailer who has picked up a hot item that they've found, and they mark it up, but they already paid markup on it as well from the manufacturer they got it from. And so there's all this markup already on it, and you end up paying five times something that it's worth. You know, I don't want to pay $25 for a lanyard. I want to pay $5 for a lanyard that represents something I do. I want to buy an action figure or a t-shirt for $10 to $15, not $20 to $25. You know, styling online
doesn't plus, you don't want to pay an extra $3 for every time you gain a couple pounds and have to buy a bigger shirt.
Exactly. And you don't want to be going back and buying these things that, you know, you're constantly paying that same price for it. There's not the deals out there. You know, some of these places go, okay, well, two shirts for $40. Well, it's $20 a shirt for a shirt that you can wear twice, wash it, and it's ruined.
Right.
And so I want to come up with original ideas, hopefully somewhere down the line work with some companies and get licensing rights to do a couple other more famous projects. But right now I'm working with fuse beads to make things for lanyards and keychains, mouse pads, coasters, magnets. Also working on artwork using fuse beads to make scenes from famous fandom places, video games, comic books. Working on a special Daft Punk one that will be music-oriented for music fans and things like that, that are original ideas, original concepts, and will be available at art shows, Comic-Cons, expos, online, all environments we can put it at, and put it at a reasonable price. Same thing for t-shirts. Been working on a lot of sayings from t-shirts. We all hang out a lot and talk, even here on the podcast, and come up with these funny sayings that we're talking about, and we laugh for hours about, and other people start to laugh when they catch on to us saying them. And
nobody laughs. It's just us.
Oh, well, we're going to have to buy a lot of t-shirts from me. And so it's one of
discount.
Those... Yeah, discount. Bulk discount. But it's one of those things where I want to turn that idea of being a fan into something that can be shown off and not be expensive. Not to say that the expensive stuff that's out there isn't cool.
Right.
I would really
There's definitely some things out there that are worth the price, but whether or not... I mean, as you said... you know, we've already thrown down a bunch of money just to come to a show like Comic-Con and whatnot. You know, and I don't know about you guys, but I've had to budget $200 to $300 just to eat while here.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't have at least $300 to come to eat while I'm here, there's no point in me coming down, much less shop. So, you know, we're already forking out. I mean, you're looking at a grand already just to be in San Diego, mm-hmm. and then how much money are you going to spend on the floor?
Exactly.
Stuff like that. So, and, you know, for me personally, I don't mind forking out the money to, you know, Jeff Loeb or what have you, giving them money to because I like the original art when I'm giving it to them, but I don't like giving DC Comics twice that amount for the same thing when I know he's not going to get any cut of that.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a good concept.
And so the idea, and it's all conceptual, none of the products that have actually been, there are things out there that are similar to what I'm creating. But most of the ideas are just from hanging out with people and them saying, man, I wish I could have this or I could see something like that. And so I go out and I want to make that. And so we'll be working with that. I'm actually going to be getting into sculpting and screen printing here pretty quick. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And it's a new venture. It's just starting off, but it's fun and it's something I can do as an extension of the work I do with Forbidden Panel and with going to all these pop culture events that I enjoy reporting on and talking about. This is an expansion of that, and so I'm taking my interest in pop culture and then other people's interests and their thoughts and things that they want, their ideas that they'd like to see turned into a product, and I want to turn that into a product for them.
Cool. So hopefully we'll be able to see some more of that on the site, on the FP site as well as your own personal site. Do you have that site going yet, or is that a work in progress?
So website's in progress. It is brightboyconcepts.com. For right now, it's just running through the Facebook page, facebook.com/brightboyconcepts, and it's where all the pictures will be, all the descriptions and policies for ordering things and requesting items and pricing and stuff like that is on Facebook for right now. Somewhere down towards the end of the year, we'll have an official website, but for right now, the idea is to build up the inventory, the products, and the various...
Lay a foundation before you build the house.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay, now this question goes out to the both of you. Martin being more traveled than Vanessa when it comes to conventions and whatnot. So far, what has been your favorite convention? And feel free to say the Inland Empire Comic Expo.
I'm going to let Martin answer that first.
That's actually a really tough question. I have a little bias this year. We talked about this a little previous episode. I was on a panel at Phoenix Comic Con that I put together with Jose Soria. And we presented on how to survive Comic Con. And Phoenix Comic Con was actually a new one I attended last year, had not experienced it before. But it has the vastness of San Diego Comic Con without the extra 100,000 people. And it was really cool. And they had events inside the convention center. They had events outside the convention center. They had after parties, all that sort of stuff. So they had the ambiance and the experience of San Diego without the chaos. And I hate to say that about San Diego, but San Diego does tend to get out of control sometimes with the amount of people that attend. And I'm sure Phoenix will get to that, but Phoenix was definitely by far the coolest show I've been to in the last 12 months.
Vanessa?
I unfortunately missed the Phoenix show, but I believe just what I've seen from, 2 years ago coming to the San Diego and it being not as chaotic 2 years later, that I would have to go with Kamikaze, just because there's still a lot of cool things going on. It's just I'm not shoulder to shoulder with someone like I am at San Diego. Like, I can see things when I'm at Kamikaze.
Right.
I can talk to the vendors or the artists or, you know, other people. And then here it's just kind of like go, stand in the line, hurry. And I like to enjoy my environment because a lot of the things that I see inspire me and I can take it back to my business and go from there. Without the stress and everything, I'm able to create a lot more at a smaller con than I am maybe like here.
Right. Two different varying points.
What about you?
Mine is now and forever will be WonderCon. Because for me, not so much this last year. Well, I mean, it was different for me this last year because it was my first time at a big con having a booth. And I, as stressed and as in pain as I was, at the end of the day, I was loving every second of it. Because WonderCon is all about comic books for me. And I can stop anybody and just have a conversation about any comic book. You know, whatever shirt they're wearing, you know, whatever bag they're carrying, you know, whatever they're displaying. And it be somebody that's almost as knowledgeable as I am and have an intelligent conversation about comic books. And that, for me, is, you know, what a comic con is. So, you know, when I come to a place like San Diego, like today, it took me half an hour to take a picture of a wall because nobody would stop walking in front of me to take a picture of this wall. You know, and it was an amazing art piece that I just wanted to take a picture and put on the Forbidden Panel site for this, and it took me half an hour, you know. 10 pictures later on my camera, my phone's dying, you know. I'm just trying to take a picture of a wall.
Yeah.
At WonderCon, I can do that. You know, people see that I'm taking a picture of the wall. They see the wall. And then they appreciate it, and they join in taking a picture with me, you know?
Yes.
And having not gone to Kamikaze, I don't know, you know, how it's like for me, but you're saying that it's also a different genre, different types of genres in a con. For me, that isn't a comic con. That's a media con, you know? And I think if that's what you're going to, then that's what it should be labeled as.
Exactly, because when I first heard about it, and Martin was saying, yeah, it's a comic con, you know, this is what it's labeling it as, and then I walk in onto the floor, and people are getting tattooed. And I'm like, whoa, this is more my stuff
right.
than the tattoo conventions.
Right.
And so it kind of, the lines did get really gray, and I think that's why it was such a vast variety of people. But I had a really good time at WonderCon.
See, and that's cool when it comes to Kamikaze, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But label it as such.
Yes,
you
exactly.
know what I mean? Like, label it as such so that you get the proper audience that to come into it. You know, Kamikaze, I mean, this year it's Stan Lee's Kamikaze,
mm-hmm.
so automatically you're thinking comic books, so when you get a herd of geeks walking in the door, and all they see blood on the floor from the tats, they see rock and roll concerts and all that stuff, they're going to be confused and turned away in some aspects, you know?
Yeah, I was confused and surprised.
Well, and intimidated is
right.
the other thing. It's
because
not a show that they would be normally.
I've got 8 tattoos on me. I know the type of crowd that has tattoos. And your common everyday geek, they walk into a room full of big tattooed people, and they're just going to freak out, like Martin. You know, and they're just not going to feel comfortable there, and if you're not feeling comfortable in your environment, you're not going to enjoy it. And if you're not enjoying it, you're not going to spend any money.
Exactly. And even when I was trying to get people to come to Kamikaze with me, they're like, well, wasn't that a Comic-Con? And I'm like, trying to explain it, like,
right.
well, maybe they labeled it wrong. You know, I have tattoos, but I still like all these nerdy, geeky things that society mm-hmm. say are, you know, dorkish or whatever. And I couldn't get them to go because it was labeled Comic-Con.
Right.
So that was a little, not frustrating, just confusing.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying anything bad about any of those things, but label it properly.
Right.
No. Where we are right now, this is not a comic book convention. This ceased being a comic book convention a long time ago. Maybe it was influenced by comic books. Maybe the films that they're showing are of a nature that you would see in comic books, but it's no longer a comic book convention. So they really need to change the name about it and give somebody else the opportunity to host a grand-scale comic book convention like this used to be.
Yeah, I have a big pet peeve about even shows that are called cons versus expos versus shows.
Right.
If you're going to call it a convention, you need to have panels, you need to have an actual convening going on. You know, you're going to have an expo, you have things that are exposed.
It's an
exposition. But, you know, a costume contest like the Inland Empire Comic Expo has, or the costuming people that we had out, things like that. If you're going to have a show, you know, there's usually a lot of artists. There's a great show in Oceanside called SoCal Comic-Con. But
it's not a
convention. No. There's not panels, but it's a great show. I mean, there's
artists. And that's my problem. People use the word Comic-Con or con
because
it attracts a large group of people with one mindset that, you know, that's all heard there. We're going to meet a bunch of famous people and get all kinds of stuff signed. And, you know, and sometimes it's just not the way it is. And no offense to, you know, that convention, but if you're in a YMCA, you're in a YMCA. That is not a convention center. That's a YMCA. You know, so call it what it is. It's a comic show.
Mm-hmm.
It's an exhibition, you know, stuff like that. But it is not a con.
Yeah.
So again, label it what it is so that we know what we're walking into.
But I think at the same time, these words have not been defined. Because if you ask anyone out there, can you tell me where you're at? Can you tell me the difference between a show and an expo? You're going to get all kinds of different answers.
Right.
It hasn't been set in stone what an expo is, what a show is, what a show is.
But I think it has been to those that are veterans.
Veterans, yes. With any genre, any
theme,
the veterans got it. But you got, like, this place is huge. You've got people that just heard about it, a couple months ago here?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what... That's one of the reasons why I wanted to do a podcast I've got a lot of comic book knowledge, and I've been around the block a few times, and I wanted to educate people so that they understand what they're going into, so they know when they pick up my book. I don't sell my book to kids under 16 because there's nudity and cursing in it, you know, and so I want to be able to expose that about other books. So you know what you're doing. I want to expose that about conventions, shows, stuff like that, so that if you listen to my show, you know what you're going to. You know what you're walking into, so you're not surprised, and you can plan appropriately, you know?
The other issue with using the term Comic-Con and everything, San Diego Comic-Con is now the stereotype for every Comic-Con. So everybody, when you're talking, there's going to be celebrities there? Celebrity comic book artists.
Right.
And writers, normally, yes. You know, I consider a lot of them famous people.
They're famous to me.
Yeah, they're famous to me.
Exactly.
But that's not what they're thinking. They think Hollywood whenever they hear Comic-Con now.
Right.
And that's the thing. And it's bad that association has happened. And that's another reason that the definition has such a problem being established and a standard out there, I think.
Right. I mean, when we say names like Joel Gomez, you know, a lot of people will know that name.
I know who he is now.
Right. But in the comic book world, we all know who he is.
Exactly.
You know? But nobody else would, and you won't get the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I walked by David Mack, who does Kabuki. He's a phenomenal artist and creator. And he's sitting there watching a line to The Walking Dead go by him, you know, and he's getting ignored. John Layman, who's now writing for
Batman.
Nobody there. You know, these names who are important to us are getting ignored because of mainstream media at a convention that's called Comic-Con.
And I know earlier in the interview we joked around about I'm the people that are ruining, you know, the San Diego and stuff. I do understand that there are a lot of new people, but what's different about me and people that are like me that are newcomers, but we're really interested in where is this coming, where is this artwork coming
from. The difference in you and, let's say, Martin or myself is that you're coming to this convention knowing this already.
Yes.
I went to con when it was an actual comic con. So I'm watching it turn into something I don't like while you're coming into it as it is something you like already.
Yes. But there are some people that are coming just for the celebrities.
Right.
But there are people like me who are still newcomers that are listening to you, that are listening to people like Martin. I want to know who draws that. I want to know the difference between an illustrator and, you know, a comic book writer. Like, just simple little things that these other people are overlooking because they have those awful Twilight kids coming over here. I want to see vampires that sparkle. I personally don't.
Right.
I want to know who these artists are. I want to know where they came from. I want to know the root of where this came from. But that's just me. That's kind of like when I am a part of something, it's not like, you know, a little bit. It's like all or nothing with me.
Right.
So I've decided to invest money and time into a convention like this. I want to know everything. Everything you can tell me about it, I'm there. I want to.
We should
see
be
everything.
Like, we should host like next year. Be flat out going, hey, go to Con with SP. And let us be your tour guides.
That would be cool.
Seriously. I'm fortunate enough to know both of you. And all I gotta do is, like, on the whisper, obviously, don't say it real loud. But there's many times we've been at cons with Martin, like, hey, Martin, I totally know what this is, but I can't remember. And he'll be like, it's this, it originated from this, da 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 da. And I'm like, oh, okay. Next.
You know. My first con, I was the same way. I went with my friend Joey. I walked in, and he's like, oh, man, look at this guy. I'm like, who's that? You draw a Swamp Thing. Oh, shit, well, let's go.
Yeah,
you know, like, because when I was growing up reading comic books, I didn't pay attention to the names. I paid attention to the art and the story.
Yeah.
You know, and because of that, I missed out on a lot. But now, through my years, I've educated myself and learned, and because I had somebody like Martin or myself with me to teach me, and now I love that. I love going to a con with somebody that's never been there before so I can show them, you know? And especially since now I'm in a position where I know a lot of these people personally. You know, I mean, it's not the very big, it's not like I'm all like, yeah, I know that motherfucker. No, it's more like, dude, let me go get you to meet this guy. He's really awesome, and he does great artwork. You know, just, he'll love it if you just take the time and say thank you.
Well, especially
you need to read his book.
Right.
Which Martin now has. How many trade paperbacks? Thanks, AJ. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
How many have you read? Yeah, okay.
Five or six of them. Yeah, about five or six of them is all I can get through. Those are some pretty heavy comics. But I've had, yeah, those experiences too, where it's like that. And it was one of those things with bringing Vanessa to cons and conventions and stuff too, was the idea of expanding Blackbird Bowes' reach of ideas and things that were out there in terms of pop culture icons. But then also people like Joel Gomez, who we've hung out with and become friends with through convention attendance. It's an experience, and it's fun to share.
Right.
That's one of the things I really like you were saying. I really enjoy that part where you get to hang out with people who haven't been, and some who have been. You know, there are things I still don't know that you and I hang out and we have a discussion. I'm like, whoa, no way. And it expands on the experience even more to share knowledge and to learn about.
Oh, we're family. We're generational.
It's a hug.
No.
No.
Okay. It makes you feel
Let me
like
put my pants back on.
Okay.
They're not on? Anyway, so
I have a real baggy shirt, okay?
It makes you feel like you're part of something bigger, especially when I first met Joel. Like, at first, I was just like, oh, okay, cool, you know, this isn't, you know, some guy. And then getting to know him and then actually remembering or identifying some of his work,
right.
Not knowing it was him. You know, going through his portfolio and like, this was you? You did this? I've been looking at this for years, and I'm standing on the other side of a table, and you're asking me how my day is and how I'm enjoying the con, and I'm meeting your wife, and she's, you know, autographing stuff for me, and, you know, just having normal, everyday conversation like we're friends.
One of the cool things that happened tonight, actually, last year at Comic-Con, Brandy, who was a former member of FP, and her friend Anita, big friends of David Mack. And I'm like, oh, well, I know him. Let me take you over there. And I took him over to the booth. I introduced them and everything, and they were gushing. And he invited them to go to Trickster, which is an event that he was a part of, with live art drawing and all that stuff. So they were gushing about it and telling me, and they're all excited. So this cool thing happened tonight. I'm talking to Brandy, and she's like, yeah, I was walking down the street, and I saw David Mack. And, you know, he came up and said, hey, how's it going? And gave me a hug, and I gave his wife a hug, and we were chatting for a bit, and he asked how you were doing, and said he saw you earlier, and blah, 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 and I'm like, see, that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
And they both, like, grew up idolizing his artwork and his books, and now, you know, she's hugging him and his wife.
Yeah.
You know, they recognize each other walking down the street.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, you ask David Mack, and he's going to be like, oh, yeah, whatever, because, you know, to him, he's not a big deal, but to people like us and them that have grown up like that, you know.
He's our celebrity.
Yeah,
right. Right. So to know him and hang out with him, it's like, yeah, that's awesome, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So she's telling me the story. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I did that. You know, I'm like, it just makes me happy, you know? Like, yeah.
He's having these moments because all you had to do was introduce him.
Right.
And it's not something that has to continually involve you, too. It's
right.
grown into its own relationship.
And she sees him once a year,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
she doesn't really go to any conventions. So to me, I think that's awesome. And that is something that we can do to other people. If I can introduce you, Martin, or you, Vanessa, to other people that I know, you know, and then you guys develop a relationship because of it and hang out without me, then I'll be sad. But then that'll be awesome. And that's something that, you know, again, we're like going way off track, but... I feel when I come to a place like San Diego Comic-Con, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Because it's so slammed in there that you can't really spend any personal time with anybody.
Well,
which is why WonderCon, for me, is my favorite con. I can go to all these booths and hang out with them. I can do interviews with them and not have 1,000 voices in the background. You can't even hear us talk, you know, and actually spend the time with them. And that's how I learned to run my comic book business. Like, what do you guys do for inking? What do you guys do for coloring, writing, you know, your letter boxes, all nine. Word bubbles, everything, and that's how I get to learn, because cons like WonderCon allow me that opportunity. San Diego Con, I don't have that choice. You know, I'm walking like this and feeling like a In-N-Out commercial.
And it's overwhelming for everyone.
Right.
Like, especially the artists. You know, they're sitting there all day and just faces after face. People,
right.
But, you know, not everyone's polite. Not everyone's like, hey!
Right.
You know? And it,
come in the day, they're just like, why? $10, man.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, yeah, I've seen it, and it's sad.
Right.
It's really sad, because it takes everything. The reason why you come here is just gone, because of all the people.
Right. So, all right, well, with that, I think we've run pretty good on this segment. Why don't we go and take a quick break? When we come back, we'll cover some of the things that we have seen on the floor.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
And we're back. It's episode 99 of the Panelcast. I'm doing my best to embarrass Vanessa right now. How you doing, Vanessa?
Dandy like candy?
You heard the pause, right? Well, she had to think of something witty to come back into with that. A simple, how are you doing? Turned into like this. The Jeopardy theme song came on in the background. So in this segment, we're going to talk about preview night and what we've experienced while we've been here so far. Let me lead in with Martin. Martin, you are the, how can I say this? You were the glutton today, the sacrificial lamb, made to stand in line all day for a whole bunch of stuff that you really didn't enjoy. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your day?
I stood in line a lot. It was actually, so today's preview night, and at Comic-Con, preview night used to be a thing where a few people would show up and they'd get to walk the exhibit hall floor and check some things out. There might have been a couple panels. In recent years, it's become a crowded, let's get first dibs at exclusives from Mattel and Hasbro. And an opportunity to see a couple TV pilots that various studios bring to the show. So we arrived about 8 a.m., or 9 a.m. this morning, actually, due to traffic. Got in line to register, got to register about 2, and then stood in line for another 4 hours before the exhibit hall floor opened, which the second that opened, nerds everywhere went nuts. You're not allowed to run on the exhibit hall floor, but it was some speed walking stampedes through the convention center to get to specific areas on the exhibit hall floor. People were in hunt for exclusives from Mattel for things like the Monster High doll or Hasbro's little My Little Ponies and Helicarrier that they're carrying this year from the Avengers movie.
Which reminds me, there's a statue of a My Little Pony over by Hasbro. All of us have to get our picture taken this weekend.
I just posted a picture of me writing it illegally on Twitter. Not that it was illegal to post it on Twitter. It was illegal for me to write it in that way. But it was a very cool statue. And a lot of the floor was very well decorated. The Weta Studios had a very cool Hobbit sculpture set put up with some giant troll-looking characters. Won't give too much away from that, but there will be pictures posted about that.
And the exhibits have actually changed a lot. Warner Brothers changed their booth area. They no longer have their water tower that has always been a symbol of them. They actually designed this very museum-like look, and the back half of their booth shows a lot of pictures from the Hobbit film that's going on right now. The front half was for passing out swag. They also had the Batpod from the Dark Knight Rises movie coming up parked out front. The DC Comics booth changed. They're no longer long tables where you just walk through lines and pick up free buttons and tattoos and comics. They actually set up a more artsy look. They're going to be focusing more on signings from artists and writers and talent within DC Comics. And then they also have a green screen where you can pose with the Justice League and be put into a comic book cover, which I stood in line for, and AJ said the picture looks creepy. Only because I'm trying to grab Wonder Woman's ass.
Well, it looks like Batman's trying to get on your shoulders. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, Batman sometimes needs some assistance, and I was there to help. But it was the swag that they were offering at the DC Comics booth, which was different for them. Typically, they have buckets of buttons out there and comic books and posters that they hand out to the fans, and they're not going that route this year, which, in a sense, I think kind of made them look a little classier. It wasn't like, here, have all our leftovers and cheap free things, so that was cool. I did try to get into lines for Mattel, Hasbro, and Entertainment Earth. Security shut the lines down a lot sooner than I think Mattel and Hasbro were ready for, and fans were ready for, because the lines were getting out of control and crowding and blocking aisles, so they had to shut that down, which made a big chaotic mess and disappointed a lot of people who now have to find the time the rest of the week, if they have passes, to get back in line for Hasbro or Mattel to buy those exclusives that are available here and then marked up extremely high on eBay once people get back to town from the convention. After a while, it was just too chaotic on the floor, and I had to get out of there. I almost lost my head to a poster tube from the Fox Network booth as they tossed the poster tube towards me. Not at me or for me, but towards me, and I ducked out of the way.
It would have been magnificent if somehow you leapt in the air and cut it with your teeth.
That would have been cool. Well, I also thought maybe I should have just let them hit me in the head and then force them to let me sit behind their booth and talk to all the celebrities this week that they have there, but that's not what I'm here for. So I went upstairs and was able to catch pretty much the entire pilot for the new Green Arrow-based TV show Arrow that's going to air on CW this fall. Starring Steve Amell, and it was awesome. Very much a look like Batman. Oliver Queen is trapped on an island. He's there for 5 years. He becomes a skilled bowsman. He's rescued. He comes home. He's a billionaire playboy brat. He wants to act like a brat. He wants to have this persona that throws everybody off the scent that he's actually this vigilante going by the name of Arrow in Starling City, and he's there to fight the men that caused his father to die on the boat accident that marooned Oliver on the island. It was really cool to watch the action. You can tell they put a lot of effort into the stunts and the work that they did with it. The archery, there was a lot of work with it. There was a really great scene where he launches half a dozen tennis balls and they're bouncing in the air, and he just shoots every single one of them, hits them right on target, and it looked really cool. They gave him very much a Robin Hood look, which I'm not a fan of. I know Green Arrow in the comic books is green, obviously, in his uniform choices, and uses a bow and arrow. But in this case, the bow looked like something out of a English folklore tale. He stole money in the episode and gives it to people who were ripped off. And he wears a green hood. He does not wear a mask, which was another point that they differed from the comic book in. Instead of wearing a mask, you can see his face, but he paints a green stripe across his eyes, which allows him to not be figured out while he's out vigilanteing.
And it looks like the chick off the Duran Duran Rio video.
Pretty much, yeah. But other than that, the show was really cool. It had a really fast pace to it, but it gave you enough of the story that you're kind of catching on that, okay, obviously something's happened on this island, and they didn't give that all away in the very first episode. They gave you tidbits and flashbacks, and then they brought him back to modern-day Starling City, and he's living his life and readjusting to being in civilization again. You can tell that he's a real tough guy. and he's trying to, not that he has something to prove, but just that he's tough and he can handle this and he's not going to need anybody else's help. And it's very clear that in the future he's going to need people's help to get through all of this. And there's some other underlying personal issues from past relationships that he's going to have to deal with coming back. So that was a lot of fun, and it was very cool to see. And then, of course, was able to escape the convention center and have dinner with all my friends at the Gaslamp Strip Club. And that is my preview day sum up.
What did you think of today? As being like the preview night for what's coming up with Comic-Con?
I actually think we should no longer call it preview night. I think we should call it day zero. It's way too big to be considered a preview night now. There's so many people who buy a 4-day pass and have preview night. The fact that lines were that long to get in to register and to then wait to get into the exhibit hall is like a regular day. The lines will be just as long tomorrow morning on day one of the convention to enter the building.
Now, can you imagine thinking back to tonight and thinking, man, it wasn't as crowded on Wednesday?
Oh, yeah. This is my fourth or fifth preview night at Comic-Con in the last 7 years, and it's grown every year. Last year, it wasn't this bad. It was not this chaotic.
It was bad, but it wasn't this bad.
Yeah, it was a little crowded, but we could move around. There was organization. Tonight, it felt like the exhibitors weren't ready for the doors to open, and they weren't... there weren't things that they were going to be doing during the regular show that they were previewing for us, even. They were just like, oh, yeah, they get to come in early so they know where our booth is located. Which is fine, you know, that's cool, but if you're going to be a part of a preview night, then there should actually be some previews and some exclusivity to that night. And I think there's just too many people for exhibitors to handle it now, and so they've kind of given up on the fact that, oh, we need to be there.
I think they went out of their way originally to make it too much of a special night. Like, because preview night originally was... Originally, it was kind of like a night where pros can come in first and get first look at everything and shop and do whatever you want. And then it turned into, for those lucky few that have preview night passes, we'll give away this exclusive swag that's only available on preview night. And now it's turned into, oh, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
You know, it's just a little bit too much for them too much for me personally to process. And I can't imagine what it was like, you know, behind the booth.
Yeah.
Any of the booths there, so.
Yeah. So it was an interesting day. I definitely think that preview night needs to just be adjusted either into another day of the convention or we get rid of it.
All right, so moving on. That was Inside Con. Vanessa, why don't you tell us about what you did on the outside of Con. Now, Vanessa did not have a preview night badge. She does not have a Thursday night badge. She has a Friday badge. But she just wants to come and hang out with us because we're just such magnificent people that... At the end of the night, she just wants to hear our stories and sleep well as we tuck her into bed at night. Isn't that right?
That's exactly what happens, the tucking in at night.
Right. Your voice cracked a little bit there. You hanging out with Martin a lot?
I was trying to hold back the tears, and how inappropriate this all is.
There's nothing inappropriate about telling you a bedtime story. Tonight, Comic-Con, we went over here... Oh, she fell asleep. Let's tuck her in. Okay. Come on, Martin.
Come on, Martin.
We all probably shouldn't be sharing the same bed while we're doing this.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, pants are an option. So, tell us about what you saw on the outside of Con.
Well, as much as there was a lot of energy, obviously, going into the lines and whatnot, I could only get so far without my pass. But there was a lot of hustle and bustle going on. The setup of a lot of the things that are going to be shown Friday and Saturday. Like, there was a Frankenweenie was setting up. They had the Django thing, the little booth kind of deal setting up. And we went and tried some of the local eateries, like Chocolate. That was a really cool place. And a lot of the...
Something they said about a place just called Chocolate. This is bowl right there.
Yes, it was a gelatos, like little treats. It was a hip little place, and a lot of the places had a Comic-Con menu, which was maybe, it gave you, like, extra deals, because they're assuming you're coming in with a larger group of people, so we found that to be beneficial. Like, that was awesome. We also stopped by the Darkness and Light art exhibit, and that was a surprise for me. And DC puts it together, and it's a superhero-themed art show. And there were a lot of mixed mediums. There was things that you usually wouldn't normally see maybe inside the con because they were huge. There was like a 5'6" Catwoman made out of Legos. You know, something like
five
that.
5'6" is huge to you. I'm 5'6".
Well, for a Lego? Yeah. Yeah. I did. I took advantage of that and took pictures. And they were really laid back in this gallery. I was able to take photos of everything in there. There wasn't anyone saying you couldn't. And it, usually in those environments, it's no cameras. And they were welcoming. And there were like families going in there as well. And it had a really cool vibe to it.
I think in an environment like this where it's all public all the time, taking photos and tagging them is just helping their business more and helping the artist out more to sell their individual art pieces. So I believe, you know, that's why there's a difference with regular gallery viewing and this kind.
Well, it's very interesting that you say that because we've been here in the past. There's a Chuck Jones gallery that's just outside the convention center. They are very, very strict on the no photography policy, and they will...
Right, but they're Chuck Jones 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, this style of gallery is con.
Yeah, this was a DC Comics event, and
right.
It sounds really cool. I was only able to see pictures from what Vanessa took. But yeah, it, like you're saying, it does seem like it might be something that would spread the word and help it on
right.
Facebook.
Right, because, I mean, we walked by the Darkness and Light place, and if you're not looking for it, you don't see it.
Oh, I almost walked right past it.
Right, so them allowing you to take pictures and share it will cause other people to go in there while they're at con and become more noticeable. So, hence the difference in that aspect.
Yeah, as soon as we walked in, I was like, this is cool. I don't think a lot of people know it's here. Checking in.
Right.
And I uploaded some photos. I didn't get the name of a lot of the artists, but I know all of the work is being donated to feed the children in Africa. And that was huge to see that it goes beyond the comic book. Like, they're using the ideas and applying it to real life. That everyone can do their part, and they had the digital art too. They had painting and kind of like collage work all in one place. Usually the galleries are like themed, like everyone does one thing, and this was just an array of stuff, and it was awesome. It was pretty cool.
Nice. Anything else that you saw out there?
No, I mean, just the usual hustle and bustle and everyone looking like a tourist and looking up instead of, you know.
Now, yeah, you know, I was able to walk around downtown as well, and one thing that we see every year are the hotel, the taller high-rise hotels, windows decorated with, you know, artwork or displaying advertisements of whatever TV show or movie that they're trying to promote that year. So I walked by what's normally a seafood restaurant outside the Omni and has now been turned into the Grimm restaurant based on the Grimm TV show. Had vines all over the place and had the word Grimm in vine out there, you know, hedge design, as well as like options to take pictures and whatnot, to include the trailer from Grimm, and I plan on reading that trailer at some point in time. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the show at all. Do you watch the show at all?
No, but I know what you're talking about with the little prop sets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had the character from Adventure Time.
Right.
I'm so anticipating those things, so I'm not, they don't really... It's like, oh, wow, it's more like, yes, it's there.
Right.
I'm kind of expecting it. So there's a lot of that stuff going on. Like, I know in the Oakley store, they had, oh, no, it was the Ray-Ban store. They had, each window was themed to, like, Superman and how, you know, he has his glasses and there was little action figures.
Yeah,
in the
I
window.
Saw the one with Spider-Man where it had the web up. Yeah,
like, little tiny, like, there's more attention to the detail.
Right.
And they try to gear everything towards the convention.
And they were even doing a signing at the Mac store today where...
Which I missed, unfortunately.
Dustin Perrin, I believe that's the artist who does Archie and Jughead and all that,
yes.
Was sitting there doing artwork and signing and stuff. So there was a line, long line coming out, and of course every male that worked at Mac looked like he should work at Mac. Not hating, I swear. But I saw a lot of video game presence. Not as much as in previous years, but the initial bar when you first walk out of Comic-Con and come across the street and enter in the Gas Lamp District has been turned into the GameSpot place. And then right next to that is the Square Enix video gaming area where you'd be able to play those games and stuff too. And so I enjoyed that. And then, you know, the Walking Dead car that's parked out front. The big carousel wheel that was out there.
Sega had their signs up, but whatever they're about to show, it was covered.
Mm.
So I'm sure we'll either show that tomorrow or Friday.
And I think the biggest thing that I've seen out there, the one thing that we're really pushing hard on is the new Defiance TV show that's coming out on Sci-Fi. I mean, those displays were almost on every window. The Cafe Diem, what was the Cafe Diem restaurant has now been turned into the Sci-Fi Defiance spectacular thingy, which I went to and was very sad to see Cafe Diem go. Was even more sadder when I saw the prices on the menu. And so that seemed to me like there was a big, huge push on that. And
that's not even all of it. There's still three carnival-like events that are being set up around the convention center. Warner Brothers has something called the Extra event that they're doing, where they have six Batmobiles parked outside a Batcave they're building. They're going to have celebrities up on stage. They're going to have giveaways. They're still setting that up today. That wasn't fully set up. But
the zombie run.
Yeah, the zombie run at Petco Park is being set up. They're doing an electric garden for the Frankenweenie movie.
That's the one I was waiting for.
Over at the park, which looks really cool, and it's a combination between the Disney and HDTV to do an event outside of Con. And these are all events mostly that the public can enter, as well as people holding badges, which will be interesting to see how that traffic is held. But it's cool to sit out front waiting to register this morning and see six Batmobiles drive by.
Yes, that this casually, like, oh,
hey. Oh, yeah, you know, those are here every day. Yeah, they're here all week.
They got the little Sonic TV trays outside.
It was really cool to see that kind of stuff being set up. I'm concerned to see what the traffic's going to be like outside the convention center.
Well, I mean, they've already begun closing down the bottom part of Broadway or 5th Street. I know that tomorrow they're probably just going to go, like, two blocks up like they normally do where Spaghetti Factory is and close off from there on. But it's become more and more apparent as the years are going by that Comic-Con has grown out of itself. And I think their initial petition to add more square footage to the convention center itself may become null and void at that point because they're taking over all the hotels in the surrounding areas and parks and whatnot. Even to where, you know, Petco Park, which normally is laden with, like, some last-minute baseball games or whatnot, has completely been shut down and is now Dawn of the Con and all that stuff. The after-party advertisements are off the chain this year.
Oh, yeah.
Last year you had to hunt it down, and this year you're just...
They're all going at the same time.
Right. They're all happening. You're getting invites left and right, all over Facebook and the websites and Twitter and all that other stuff. Where last year was kind of like a scavenger hunt to find these things, now it's kind of taking all the fun out of it, but at the same time it's giving you the options. You know? And it's more abundant, too. There's a lot more going on. So, to the point where we have no idea what we're doing tomorrow night. We'll probably end up split up like five different ways to cover all the parties, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just going to be pretty much insane at that point. But, so yeah, my day at Con, you know, once I got my pass and went in, visited Martin a few times, hit the Defiance bar. As little as I knew about what was going on with Defiance, it was interesting to see, you know, all the wall decorations they had. Xbox consoles on all the booths, so you can start playing the video game right then and there while you're waiting for your food.
The show is going to be, you and I talked about this a little bit, Defiance is going to be a TV show that comes out at the same time as a massive multiplayer game.
Well, it's already a game. It's going to be like a continuation of that game, like almost like a DLC. And I can't remember what it was called. Oh, my crap.
Trion?
No, that's the company that runs it. It's another one. The minute I say it, you guys are all going to go, oh, so I'm not going to say it. Yeah, that's the reason why. I'm looking at the wall, and it's introducing all these characters, and I see all the, you know, these human characters, and I'm like, okay, cool. It's nice to see Julie Benz has another job, you know.
Yeah.
Graham Greene's coming back to TV, and then you look past, like, the coffee service area, and the first thing you see is an armored mech guard, you know, police officer, that looks like a unit off of Warhammer. Like, you know, the armor from Warhammer 40K. And I was like, I'm watching this show. I don't care what the rest says. I'm watching this show.
You and I had talked about this show before, and we were kind of like...
EVE Online! That's what it is. EVE Online is what it's part of.
But you and I talked about this show.
Motherfucker.
And we were like, how it sucks that we lost Cafe Diem, and we were really upset that Sci-Fi is not going to be having Eureka anymore, and the stupid Defiance show, and it's a video game, too. And then
you were telling me about the bar, and you were like, oh, and then there was this mech armor.
Right.
And you could just hear the excitement. And so for
anything
that,
mech armor, dude, I'm
now
down.
Now I want to go check it out because
right.
I want mech armor to go to my regular day job every day just to deal. And so it,
you and me both.
Yeah.
I deal with Flydzillas.
Exactly. And so it was really cool to kind of hear the excitement in your voice
yeah.
as you and I have already learned a lot about this show. And then to see something like that, to hear something like that, makes me now want to go see what...
Oh about. My God, did you guys see Chewbacca?
No.
You didn't see Chewbacca?
I saw one cosplay all day. And it was
no, it was not cosplay.
What?
It was this big-ass shoe sitting on the trailer being pulled around by a truck, and it said, Chewbacca! And, like, this guy... I couldn't see much because I'm short, but, like, from what I could see over the wall... You know, it's all Chewbacca and everyone's all making fun of it. It looked awesome, and I don't want to meet the guy that fits.
Yeah.
Like,
not at all. Unfortunately, my day was mostly constrained to the indoors, away from windows, but on top of a very...
Code for air conditioning while the rest of us were sweating our nuts off outside.
Yeah.
Complain
you
away.
You came in and hung out by the air conditioning.
I came in and stood there with the air conditioning. I was doing a some like a hot
the,
moment.
The air conditioning did work really well, but it was hard to not be able to see everything that was going on in the guest line because I do know there was a lot of outside events going on.
Now, it was a little hectic. Now, real quick, I want to throw out a little words of advice for those of you that are coming down to Con this weekend. The layout on the floor, as we had mentioned, has changed. Not only just in where things are from where they normally would be, but even the numbering has changed. Along the front wall, when you walk in, where you normally see like the styling online booths in the corner, that entire front area where Lou Ferrigno normally reigns is now the 5500s. So if you go in and you're looking for the 5500s, it's against the front wall when you walk in. And then everything else, I think, isn't it going backwards this year?
Yeah, the numbers reversed.
Yeah, the numbers are going from right to left.
It goes, high to low, yeah.
So, like, you know, aisle 100 starts in the far right by Hall A. And aisle 5200 ends at Hall H.
Yeah.
You know, so it's in reverse this year, which is, I mean, what is it, manga?
That's what it is.
Like, year of the manga, so we're going right to left.
Yeah.
And like we said, a lot of things were that normally where you would expect them to be are no longer there.
They don't look like they used to.
They put small press smack dab in the middle of, like, DC, Top Cow, and Dark Horse, and all that stuff. Which is good for them, but from what I saw tonight being preview night, it was probably the worst thing they could have done. Because now everyone is fighting to avoid small press so much that it's even more overcrowded in the big name areas. So it makes it even worse to walk through, and you see people cutting through to get by, and then you see the small press guys just looking down like, oh, they're not here for me. Which is really bullshit, because, I mean, you got... Red 5 Comics is sitting over there with all the Atomic Robos and whatnot. You got Richard Starkin with all the Elephant Men books sitting over there. And, you know, all these great artists and creators and great books that are going on that people are just breezing on by not really caring much about.
Yeah, those used to be the escape. You used
right.
to escape the big publishing crowds and annoyances and get to enjoy a little bit. I mean, it was still crowded and hectic in those areas, but it wasn't as crowded. It was a great way to go around and discover those books. That's how I
right.
discovered Elephant
right.
Men was at the Comic-Con.
And then, Joe Kelly, I walked by him and he's sitting there looking sad. He's got all his books of I Killed Giants sitting in front of him, which is still one of my favorite books, you know, and he's all by himself, lonely. Always thought he was just like, hey, my book. it was sad.
Just reading it aloud.
So, you know, it's it was kind of sad. The Artist Alley is even smaller than it was last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's almost more, it's just pathetic the way that they treat artists there, you know, like, Liefeld, you walk in, Liefeld's the second row in, and there was nobody at his booth. This is Liefeld. You know, I personally am not too much of a big fan anymore, but I don't not respect what he did for the comic book industry, you know. And he's sitting there, he's got nobody around him. This is Liefeld. Jeff Loeb, same thing. Jim Lee was at his booth by himself. Like, I'm like, this is Jim Lee. You see him at DC, and that line's wrapped around the freaking ballroom. And he's just sitting over at his Artist Alley booth going, okay.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel bad. I even ran into Bowler Jack, who's done our show, outside while I was in line, and he said he lucked out because a lot of his friends didn't even bother showing up when they saw Artist Alley, and they gave him
their booth. So now he's got like two, three booths throughout Art of Selling that he and his wife are going to try to cover all 3 days. And he's like, it works out for me because I get to be everywhere and, you know, people can find me easier. But, you know, again, artists like that are getting no respect from Comic-Con because it's not a Comic-Con anymore.
Right. It's very much retail-centric.
Right.
The
so,
floor. And swag. I mean, I'm a swag whore. I won't lie. I love the free stuff.
Well, you're half right.
And really like to see, you know, some of the innovative ways that they try to promote their products. As much as I was afraid of that motion poster for the Judge Dredd movie, I did go look for it because I wanted to see how they were going to display it and what they were going to do with it, and to make sure that AJ wasn't able to get a copy of it to scare me with.
I was going to put it in your car.
I knew you would.
So then you open the door, your judgment.
I had a picture to say, do not give to this man. But they didn't have it anywhere because they were more focused on the retail and the other events going on. There was not a focus on swag. It was more about, let me get my Hasbro toys, let me get my Mattel toys. You know, I did my walkthrough based on my map, looking at the booths I wanted to look at and just see what they look like, know where they are.
Right.
If they had some swag.
Yeah, there was a few times where you and I were walking, I'm like, remember where this booth is, because I need to come back to it. You know?
And you want
to
know, and you want to do that layout, but when you come down here, it's sad. And so if you are coming down, one of the things I'd like to say is don't just focus on the retail stuff. Do make sure you go out to those small press booths. Do go out to the retailers who are way over in the 100s. Go to the artists that are way over in the 5,000s. They did bring back the flat panel TVs above Artist Alley again this year, which is really cool, where they'll feature some art from the artists that are in that section. So it's kind of cool. You can see it from far away and see some of what's out there. So if you see a picture you like, you can run to that TV.
Right.
That artist is somewhere in that row.
They need to do it like at the bank, like now serving Jim Lee in aisle 4. Stuff like that. But
that's where they should be driving focus back to that.
Right.
Like you were saying.
Right.
I remember when I went to WonderCon, I was trying to find Artist Alley, and it was straight back to the left.
It was behind the wall that we were in.
Yeah. It was behind everything. Yeah, there we go. I was going to the bathroom, giving up looking for Artist Alley, and then someone's like, oh, it's over here. There were like two aisles that no one would walk down. They would just kind of like, oh, glance at it, and if they didn't see firsthand something that they liked or something, you know, there was an aisle where there's sculptors.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody went down that aisle.
But at the same time, the difference between WonderCon and San Diego Con, Artist Alley, you know, alley here is just like a concession stand in the middle of a football field, you know?
Yeah.
Where at WonderCon, it was actually part of the game.
Yeah.
Like, once you found out where Artist Alley was, it was an impressive size of artist
out
there.
Yeah, it was a big chunk.
Right, and they gave them plenty of space. Out here, it's just like, oh, what was the bathroom again? Basically, what it felt like. So, again, going back to what we were discussing earlier, it's a media con and not really a comic book convention.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, heads up, if you're coming out here, beware of the layout of the place has changed.
Outdoor events
are massive, and if preview night is any indication of how it's going to be for the rest of the week, you're going to want to try and get here early and plan your day ahead of time. I know Martin, moving forward, Martin, what are your plans for tomorrow?
I can tell you my plans for the next 4 days. I'm going to be camping in Hall H. Because the things to cover at this convention are the movie and TV panels. And San Diego this year has done a really good job of making it hard to choose what panels to go to. The Firefly 10th year anniversary is going to compete with the Big Bang Theory panel in two separate rooms. Well, how do you pick which one you go to? Those are both awesome panels to be at. And so I've decided I'm going to hang out in Hall H because I want to check out things like Frank and Weenie, Oz the Great and Powerful, and a couple of the Expendables is tomorrow afternoon. And so that's where I'm going to hang out. Unfortunately, Twilight is the first panel in Hall H tomorrow, which means I have to sit through that in order to make sure I have a seat for the rest of the day.
His eyes sparkle when he talks about Twilight, just saying.
In anger. Sparkle with rage.
It could be the alcohol, too.
I hear sorrow.
You hear sorrow?
Yeah, okay. I hear sorrow.
Anyways, so I will be hanging out, actually typing up my review for Arrow for ForbiddenPanel.com. And hanging out in that room until the second panel, which is the Disney panel to feature those movies. And Disney always brings a cool panel,
They're very well known for to talk about what movies they're going to present. And then afterwards, it's always one of those, oh, and one more thing kind of situations, or like a post-credit scene.
So you're going to sit through a panel full of grown women drooling over young kids so that you can be in a room full of grown men drooling over kids' cartoons?
Well, yes.
Okay. I just want to point that out.
Thanks for clarifying. That was actually a very articulate way of expressing it.
I try.
Yeah.
I have a thesaurus in my hand right now.
I appreciate it. Anyways, so Disney is one of my favorite panels to go to because they usually do have some sort of special event that goes along with it. And they tend to show pretty good amount of footage. For Frank and Weenie, we've already seen a lot of it. And as Vanessa was saying, on the outside, they have the Electric Garden and they have the Arctic
Plus Rebellion. It's based off a short that was already out there.
Right. And so that one we already know a lot about, but Oz the Great and Powerful, there hasn't been much for it. A poster was just released this last week, but that's about it. We know who's going to be in it. We kind of know a little bit of the background story, but we've never seen footage. We don't really know too much about the concept. Is it going to be Alice in Wonderland, except for the Wizard of Oz version, or you know, things like that. So it'll be good to hear more information about that.
It'd be nice to see, too, if it follows the book series.
Yes, very much so. Especially considering the idea that they wanted to do it as a trilogy and go forward with some of the other books that were out there. And then to close out the day is Expendables 2, which brings Schwarzenegger back to Comic-Con. He hasn't been here for a very long time, and so he will, of course, get to walk out and say, "I'm back," and that will, of course, get cheers.
That was a very horrible impression of him, by the way.
I'm not Austrian. It's not my fault. And Jean-Claude Van Damme is rumored to show up, so it would be awesome to see. I've never...
Think he'll do the splits on stage?
I think that would be awesome if he did that, yes.
Van Damme is someone I'd love to see.
Yeah,
if you never see him anywhere.
No.
And he's up there with Chuck Norris, I mean, if you ask me personally.
Yeah. So, and he's been out of the game for a while in the terms of U.S. movies, so it'll be cool to have him back. And we all know Expendables was a macho movie without a heavy story.
It was a man movie.
Yeah. And so, and I think women liked it too, you know. Yeah,
women liked it for the eye candy mostly.
Mostly.
I don't mean to sound sexist or anything, but I mean, when it comes down to it, Expendables 2 was a man movie, and maybe a little bit more, I wouldn't say manlier women, but non-women-y women enjoyed it for that aspect, but for the most part, the same crowd that went to go see Magic Mike saw The Expendables for the same reason.
Yeah, and it wasn't a movie that you're going in thinking you've got some Oscar-worthy story. So it'll be cool to have Expendables 2, you get this sequel, and I'm sure it'll be just as big as the first one.
It always amused me when people were analyzing the plot and the story for Expendables. I'm like, really? Who's getting tattooed on a motorcycle fucking chair? Like, that's awesome.
While Mickey Rourke tells a story later that cries on screen.
Right.
It was deep. Very deep. Moving moment there. Yeah. So, you know, Expendables 2 is a fun movie, and it'll be something cool. Not a comic book.
Right.
Not a comic book related thing.
But comic book style action.
Maybe in terms of like the war comics and things that were out there, yeah, a little bit. And some
well,
of the
I mean, in more of an aspect. And what I love about right now is that our conversation is actually putting Vanessa to sleep.
Today's activities? I'm listening with my eyes closed, okay?
The amount of action and violence that you're seeing in movies today normally weren't displayed in movies that would be free to be seen in comic books. So, because comic books are opening those doors and visual effects have now advanced to a point where you can't take the heavy amount of action out of the comic books and put it on screen, I know I'm reaching, but it is somewhat relatable in that aspect. Because it's almost a comic book style action that you're seeing on the screen.
Definitely. That is a good point. It is, I mean... The girlfriend gun that Terry Crews' character uses in the movie, very much a comic book related kind of weapon.
Right.
And so there are some aspects of it, but it's not something that there was a comic book, there was a story out there, and they made it a movie. This is a movie, and I'm sure there's going to be some sort of comic book or something released with it. But you know, they kind of went the opposite way. But it's here in Hollywood, and these are some big names that have been affiliated with comic book movies. And are just
Dolph Lundgren, The Punisher, Terry Crews, who's my vote to be Power Man, you know,
So there
Schwarzenegger, Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, there are some relationships out there, but it's one of those things that's not comic book related necessarily, but I will be camping out in Hall H to check out a lot of these things and report on tomorrow. And it, looking through the schedule this morning at the confirmed panel, it looks like I will be in Hall H all 4 days, the entire day, to check out those panels.
Just don't get stabbed in the eye.
Yeah, I will be wearing protective eye gear, and hopefully finding some large protective people to sit on either side of me.
James isn't coming.
I've got Guy, and Vanessa's pretty tough.
I have a tattoo, remember?
Vanessa,
right.
So she's pretty tough.
I'm intimidating.
So either side of me, I should be okay. It's just we got to make sure that I'm protected from behind. But you know about
AJ,
that.
AJ, you got that, right?
Not this time, baby.
So that's what I'll be doing tomorrow. And I'm really looking forward to a lot of what's coming up in Hall H. So hopefully we have Superman, information on Superman. The new Man of Steel movie was released today about a trailer that's going to be released with the Dark Knight Rises movie next week. Rumor has it that trailer is going to debut here first. I don't know how much of that is true, but we'll find out on Friday at the Warner Brothers panel. So that'll be kind of cool to see.
We'll have to get with one of our correspondents, Rosie Newhart, is actually doing cosplay work for Judge Dredd, the movie, this weekend, and got to see the release tonight. So we'll have to touch base with her tomorrow and find out what she thought of the movie.
Yeah, another good comic book-related movie. And then Dark Knight Rises is, of course, present all over the convention center this weekend. There's actually a contest tomorrow night where attendees here, five attendees, are going to win a private screening in their hometown. So I mean, there is some comic book-related Hollywoodness. The Arrow TV show based off Green Arrow comic books. Their panels Friday.
Beauty and the Beast. So it sounds like you have a busy day of sitting on your ass watching shows tomorrow.
Definitely.
Vanessa, what are you going to be doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'm going to check back to the things that were going on outside that weren't finished or still covered up or, you know, boxed out. I'm going to go see the progress on that. And I will be joining Martin in the Hall H all day Saturday. And then I will be exploring the floor on Friday. And I'm excited about that because we did talk about it a little more tonight, and so now I'm going to be even more observant as to how the layout is and how it benefits people or the...
Right. Plus, you'll be with me, so I'll be able to introduce you to some people.
Yes, definitely. I'm spending Friday with you.
And I'll try not to scar you too badly.
Just as long as, you know, there's no touching. Oh.
And
we're done.
I will be on the floor all day tomorrow trying to get interviews and talk to people and whatnot and trying not to kill anybody or go to jail. My plan. There you go, live from San Diego Comic-Con 2012. Any final words you guys want to fart on before we finish our last episode before the big 100?
Oh, I'm just glad that I got to be a part of the 99th episode, and I hope that I can be a part of, you know, a few more, you know.
There will be more touching involved.
I do want to be a star.
Martin.
As much as we did talk a lot about the negative sides of Comic-Con tonight, it has been a fun event, and we have been having a lot of fun today, and a lot of fun tonight just recording the podcast talking about it. So, you know, there is a lot of traffic and crowds and things like that, but you can still have a good time with it if you're up for it and you're prepared for it. So come prepared, and if you're not able to be down here, keep checking in for the podcast and forbiddenpanel.com for more info.
Right, and as you can tell, as the night goes on, my voice gets deeper because I'm getting really tired. So check back with the websites and check in on us. The 100th episode will be recorded and posted up quite possibly tomorrow. It just depends on how it goes. But you want to tune in to the next episode because we'll be talking about how you can find us on the floor and get free giveaways and whatnot.
Woo!
I've got a shit ton of ZKS stickers to hand out.
And the swag pile actually started today, and we do have that amazing Spider-Man action figure with us.
Yep, there you go. So, again, for Vanessa and Martin, thank you guys so much for tuning in to episode 99 of the Panelcast. Thank you guys for being on the show. And we will catch you guys on the next episode.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.